You in the name of that risen Lord and Savior that we heard about, been encouraged and have been blessed in being here this evening already. And as I was sitting there, as we were coming, I should say, I was a little bit nervous. I'm not sure how many people I know here, but hearing the message or the devotional, I know we serve the same Lord, and that is such a blessing. Maybe I'll just give a little introduction, and I guess I'll look to Daniel kind of as maybe he's the one that I need to look to for, or because we're here. Daniel and Marlene, we got to know them a few years ago. We were living in Belize. We were in Belize, excuse me, from 2004 to 14. And Daniel and Marlene were in our house the last year. And if they helped build the church and keep the church in order as they did our place while we were gone, well, you have a good couple here. You have a good family. We were blessed to have them there taking care of our place. My wife is here. We would have liked to bring more of our family along. We have 11 children, and four of them are married. We have two that are living in Belize, and one of them, our one daughter, was here for about 4 weeks, and they're leaving early tomorrow morning. And our other daughter that's living in Belize and is married came on Friday. And so some of the others decided they'll stay home and enjoy some time with them yet before they leave. We have three grandchildren. We have two other children that are in Belize teaching school. And we have a daughter living in Arkansas that's married, and a son that lives in our area there and attends our church that's also married. God has been good. God has blessed us. It's not without its... There's work, there's trials, there's things to work for. And the title that was given, Everyday Goals for the Christian, it's just again reminded me of the importance of having goals for our family, having goals for our life. Do you have goals? Appreciated the devotional where mention was made that sometimes we have a project and we have an end goal in mind. Now, my question is, do we always achieve those goals? Or do we sometimes start a project and not finish? And as we read the scripture here, later on I'll read it here, the scripture verses that were given, and it would say here that it's foolishness if we do not count the cost. But I believe we can look at... I can look at my own life and things that I've already started, and maybe I was in the middle of it and soon I see that, hey, I don't know how to complete this and I need to go somewhere else for help. And I had to think of something that happened in Belize. There they wanted to build another international airport. And there's one international airport in Belize. Belize is a small country in Central America, and so they started building this. They put a runway in. They were putting a lot of money and time into this, and they started building the terminals and a couple motels there, and they were about, I'm not sure how far on. The runway is in, and there are a couple skeletons of buildings there, and soon they quit. They say they're out of money. They don't have enough of money. They had projected the cost to be around $20 million, and all of a sudden the money was gone. And yeah, some of the money got away probably in ways that they were not expecting it to get away. But there it sets. The project is at a standstill. Then I had to also think of this, they call it the goat path, or the 23 that they were starting there and didn't finish. And I often think about that when I cross over there. Somebody had a vision and it didn't finish it. My question again to you is, do you have goals for your life? Do you have something that you want for your life, for your family? Let's turn to Luke 14, verse 28 there, is the passage that was given. Luke 28, 29 and 30. And I believe here that it's speaking of people that begin the Christian life and do not continue on. And how does the world look at that? I have heard remarks already, or you know, of people that they kind of laugh about it when they see someone. Maybe I didn't hear it around here as much as when we were in Belize there, when a young person would start and would have a desire and would long to be a Christian and would make a commitment, and soon it didn't hold out, and others would just kind of laugh about it. Or when one would start and others would put pressure on and say that he's just a fake. Here in Luke 14, verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." As I was thinking of having a goal, and I was of for our family, and I guess that's what's dear to my heart is family, because we have a family. I'm a father. We have some grandchildren coming along, and I think, you know, of their future as well. Where my prayer, our prayer is that they would pass on the faith and that they would be faithful. And I believe each individual is responsible for his own life. And I'm responsible for the choices and the goals that I have in life to achieve that. But as I was thinking of that, I had to think of an account in Genesis 13 where Abram and Lot were brothers. I mean, Abram, God called Abram to leave his country, and he took his nephew along. Took Lot with him. And I believe they were both doing well with growing herds and cattle. And they had flocks of sheep, and things were going well for them. And soon there started to be some difficulties because their flocks and their herds were growing. And then there was strife between the two, between Lot and Abram's, the herdsman. And so Abram said, this is not good. He said, you know, why don't we separate our ways? Well, Abram had a solution. They needed to part ways. So he approached Lot on this, and he said, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And I would imagine that Lot probably, well, he stood there and he looked over the land, probably to the left and to the right, and was wondering what he should take. Now I think Abram was kind to allow his nephew to make the choice. But I think that Lot would have been respectful to say to Abram, since you're the elder and you asked me to come along or allowed me to come along, that you take the choice and I will take it from there. But Lot, he looked, and he looked to the well-watered plains of, was it Canaan? Or anyway, he looked to the well-watered plains that were towards Sodom. And he looked at that, and he thought that would be a good place to go. And yes, we would say, why not? I mean, my goal is probably to get our herds bigger and have a family coming, and it'd be a good place to go. In Genesis 13, verse 12, it says that Abram pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. It doesn't say that he pitched his tent in Sodom, but he pitched towards that direction. I don't think he moved into that wicked city right away. maybe had no intent of moving in there. But later, from chapters 13 to 19, when Genesis 19 comes along there, and then it says that there were a couple angels or a couple men came and spoke with Abram and said that he's going to destroy Sodom because there's so much wickedness there. And I guess he knew that Lot was there. Let's turn to that. Genesis 19. Lot was now at, when they got there, Lot was at the gate of the city. In Genesis 19. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And Lot pressed them to come in. He said, it's not safe to be in the street. It's not good for you to be there. And I believe you know the account of the wickedness that was there and how they, the men wanted, after Lot pulled the men in, that the men pressed on the door and wanted those men. And it just shows us the wickedness and the evil that was in that city. And to think that Lot had chose to stay there or to live there, make that his place. And then as time went on, as the night went on, and when Lot finally left, or when Lot went out, took his wife and his two daughters, and as he was going out, he lost everything that he had. Well, I guess his two daughters went with him. But he lost his wife. Where were his flocks and his herds then? I don't know. He maybe sold them before and thought it's better to invest in the city. I don't know. Things that were going on there. But somewhere, when we see Lot leaving, he had to run and leave behind what he had, and it went up in smoke. Now, I don't think Lot planned that this was how it was going to end. But he just did what seemed best for the present. Lot lived for the moment. How often do we do that? We live for the present. We do what we think is best for now. And I believe as we, as God's children, cry out to God, God wants to direct us. And I think He does direct us through His Holy Spirit. But let us be open through the counsel of the brotherhood, through the reading of His Word, and through the aid of His Holy Spirit, that we would take counsel, that these things would line up, and that we would make wise choices. Lot lived for the moment. Well-watered plains looked good for his livestock, so he made a decision. But I think what Lot failed to consider was the direction he was moving. He was moving towards Sodom, and he lost everything. I guess as I think of just speaking spiritually now, spiritually speaking, what direction are you moving? What direction are we moving? We can't run with purpose if we have no clue to what God is calling us to. Don't make decisions if you don't sense God directing you in that way. Have a goal. You know, when Christ came to this earth, He had a project in mind, if I may call it a project. He had something in mind, and that was when God sent, or when Jesus came, when He became flesh, the goal He had was to bring redemption. The time He spent here was to give us an example of how to live a righteous life, how to live a life that would bring honor and glory to Him. And as we read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there's so many examples or so much information for us there of how to live, where we set our goals. When Jesus was here, and when He was He prepared beforehand for what was ahead of him. When before he chose his 12 disciples, he spent a night in prayer. Before he faced death on the cross, he spent time in prayer. Our goals need to be to prepare daily for the battles and struggles that will come. Each morning, take time to spend time with God in prayer as we think of what may lie ahead that day or in the future. Just bring your requests to Him. If the joy of the Lord is to be our strength, we need to fellowship with Him. We need to praise and thank God for who He is, for what He has done and what He is going to do. We heard that the cross is a symbol of it is finished, and as we think of the empty tomb, it gives us hope. There's something that we're looking forward to, and that is Jesus isn't here now, but He's going to return again. And are we ready for that? Is that our everyday goal as a Christian? Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set." And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The word "weight" there is a hindrance. Are there hindrances in our life that keep us from reaching or achieving the goals that God wants us to reach? I'd like for us to go back to Luke 14. Interesting that this is in the same chapter, some verses here that I would like to read, as it talks about if we intend to build a tower, don't we first sit down and count the cost? Hindrances is something as it hinders us as we go on our way. And I would like for us to know that hindrances are not a sin in itself. It says here, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We need to take care of the sins in our life, but then there may be hindrances. There may be some things that are not wrong for my brother, but may be wrong for me. And we'll look at that a little bit later, and it's not saying for the well-being of my life, it may be best if I don't achieve or pursue what my brother does, even though he does. Let's look at Luke 14, verse 16. Here there was a man that made a great supper, and he was ready, and he invited many to come. And then in verse 17, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And so the servant came, and he showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." There are 3 things here that we see that I think that I believe we can be caught in. And the first is land. I bought a piece of land. Land can be a hindrance to us. And that's why I'm saying it may not. But if God is calling you to go somewhere else, we're right in the about in the middle of an outreach there from West Haven, and we have some people that have committed to move, and we're grateful for that there are those that are willing to go. But you know, we don't want land to hold us back. What for land are we going? We want somewhere where it's prosperous, but If God is calling us to an area, let's not allow land to make a difference. Let us not allow land. Lancaster County is a prosperous place as far as land. If God is calling you to a work somewhere else, don't allow that to be a hindrance. The second one is the job or work. Sometimes it may be, well, is there work there? Are there jobs there? And again, I believe we need to count those things. We need to think about those things, but not allow our work to keep us from going where God wants us to go. And then the third one is, I have married a wife. Now, I'm not saying that leave your wife behind, but let's look at that as family. Sometimes we say, well, my family isn't there. If I go, who's going to be, you know? Or maybe your son or daughter is asked to go somewhere in service or to move to another area, another country, and you sense God is calling, but your heart is just saying, I don't want to let it go. So let's not let land, our job, or our work, and our family keep us back from running the race or from accomplishing the goals that God wants for us as His children. And then, yeah, as it, the sin which doth so easily beset us, those are things that can make it difficult for us too if there's sin in our life. Now, we may have young people here, youth, that are saying, well, land, a job, or even family, that's not, you know, that's doesn't face you that much at this point. There are other things that can be a hindrance. I would like for us just to think about these things, and it can be for all of us as well. Maybe the job that you have, the place where you're working, what for environment is it? Is it, oh, it's a good paying job, but maybe the environment, you see that it's taking you down. Don't allow those things to keep you from making a wise choice and being where God wants you to be. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's technology. Maybe, and again, as I said, you may ask, well, what is wrong with it? Show me in the scripture what is wrong with it. Maybe asking what is wrong with it is the wrong question to ask. Maybe what you need to ask is, does this help me reach my goal in life? Not so much what is wrong with it. If you feel like, or if you sense like it's something that you should not have. Maybe it's even just books that you read. You know, there are books that are not good to read. In fact, I have to think now of a happening that we had while we were in Belize. There was this young girl that was living a very ungodly life. And she became a Christian because she just sensed that God was calling her. She had grown up or was a part of a Christian family at one time, but then she ran away and she got into some very ungodly things, and she had a child with a young man. And as she was working through this, she brought a lot of her things there. We made a fire, burned her clothes and CDs, and oh, there was a lot of things. She said, I want to get rid of this. Can we just burn it? So we did. But she had a picture of the boyfriend or the father to her child. And she said, I'd like to keep this. And she wanted to keep it in her Bible. Just, she said, well, maybe my child, my son, will someday ask, who is the father? And so I could show it to him. But we sense that it was hard because the relationship that they had was kind of a thing that was keeping her from becoming just totally surrendered. She wanted to become a part of the church, and then finally I said, can I just take that picture and I'll file the picture away, and if you want it, I can give it back to you. And she said, I want it. She didn't want to give it to me. A little while later, she left the faith again, and she became involved with another man, and the other man stabbed her 5 times near death. I mean, 5 places where she was stabbed. It's just a miracle that she wasn't killed. It was her back right next to the spine, in her chest and her throat and her eye, and she has scars because of that today. And then she wanted to recommit, and I asked her, what was it that took you back again? And she said, the picture. And I guess what I'm saying is, if there is something, and we say, what's wrong with a picture? That's what I'm saying. What's wrong with it? But is it helping me in my Christian life? That's the point where we got to get to. It may be okay for my brother to have a picture of a certain person, but maybe not for me, because what it does. And because of that, yes, she has scars today that are reminders of that. She does have a family today, and she is living a different life than she was. The question, does this help me reach my end goal in life? Will this help me get to where God wants me to go and where He can use me? We need to count the cost. Remove hindrances if there are some there. Here it says, for which of you intendeth to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? What are some of those hindrances? Or what are some of the things that we can do to help us? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. John 15, abide in the Word. These are some of the things that help us to accomplish the goal. And Mark 12, 28-31, which is the first commandment of all? This was this young lawyer that came to Jesus, and Jesus answered him. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Our goal should be to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, to love our neighbors ourselves. And out of that flows another aspect of a Christian's duty, and that is Matthew 28, verse 18-20, where God expects us as Christians to take the gospel to others. As we think of Christ died, He rose again, and before He ascended into heaven, in Matthew 28, verse 16 there, He spent some time there with His 11 disciples. And then, verse 17, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God wants us to be involved in kingdom work, in building the kingdom. That is one of the goals that we as Christians should have. And we can do that in our work. We can do that right here in Lancaster County. There are many opportunities. As we ask God to open up doors of opportunity, He will do that. Then use them for the furtherance of His kingdom. If He calls you to go, then go. Let's turn to Colossians 3. Has a lot of encouragement for us as well. To reach or to have goals in our Christian life. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to kind of skim down over Colossians 3. It says there, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things... Excuse me. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So one of it is, we need to set our affection on things above. 5 there. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Things we need to mortify, things we need to deal with. And then verse 8, but now put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. If we have put those off, then put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Spend time in the Word of God, learning to know your Master better, the one that created you. Verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And as we look at verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Be thankful. Being thankful is something that just gives us a deeper appreciation for the things we have if we're thankful for them. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Then he talks about servants, obeying all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever we do should be done as to the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And then in chapter 4 it talks to the masters. If you are those that are employing other people, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. These are goals that we, as God's people, need to have if we want to finish our course. If we want to reach our goal, if we want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us kneel for a word of prayer.